Well, it is Pentecost Sunday, as we mentioned already, and I've got a great message for you. I want to encourage your heart. But I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would come today and speak boldly into us, and our lives would never be the same. Holy Spirit, I ask you, thank you, Lord, that you came. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here today, and you're here to touch your children. You're here to bless us. And what you did 2,000 years ago, you're ready to do it today, tomorrow, and the next day, on to whatever day is needed. Because Holy Spirit, you're here to radically transform our lives and empower our lives for the good news of the gospel. Holy Spirit, come and move in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. So it is Pentecost Sunday, and this is a really important Sunday. We talked last time about delays. This time I'll mention a tiny bit about waiting. Pentecost means 50 because it was 40 days that Jesus was, after he was resurrected from the dead, he spent on earth. And then he said, wait, and the disciples waited for 10 more days. And then the day of Pentecost came, and on day 50, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And I tell you what, life has never been the same since. And I want to believe today that your life will never be the same since. As maybe we remind you of the Holy Spirit today, or maybe even let you know about the Holy Spirit because you're not that familiar with him. You've heard about the Father. Come on, we've heard about the Father God. We've heard about the Son, Jesus. But we're not really that familiar with the Holy Spirit. Well, today you're in the right place and you're going to hear about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray it would be a blessing to you. So here's what Jesus said in Acts chapter 4, verse 1. He said, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this simple command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. You got to remember this, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. He said, do not leave here. And maybe God wants to speak a word into your heart today and say, do not leave here. If it's his presence, stay there. If it's in church, stay there. If it's just in certain places that you know you've been feeling a bit itchy on, you've been thinking maybe I will. Look, stay there. Do not move until you get what God's got for you there. If you've got what God's got for you and he's called you to move, then it's time to go. But if you haven't got what you needed and you haven't achieved what you feel God's called you to, be careful about moving. God spoke and he said, the Holy Spirit's coming. Jesus spoke. He said to his disciples, do not leave here. Because somebody's coming, the Holy Spirit's coming. And he's mentioned this word gift. And I love the idea of a gift because you could live your life without the gift. Come on, if you get a gift at Christmas, it may change your life, it may not. I mean, it's under no obligation. The person buys you a gift because they love you. You receive it because you love them or you want to open the gift. But it's one of those things, you choose the gift. But can I tell you, this is a gift like no other. God's not looking to force it on you. God's not making it compulsory. He's simply just saying, this is the best gift. Why wouldn't you open the best gift? Jesus said it. He said, why wouldn't you take it? Why wouldn't you wait for this gift? It's a great gift. Open it today. Open the Holy Spirit. Open your life to the Holy Spirit if you've never welcomed him before. And of course, if you put your life in Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit. But he says there's more. There's a filling in the Holy Spirit. There's a baptism in the Spirit. There's an empowerment in the Spirit that will radically transform your life, and the outside will see it. People on the outside will feel it. People on the outside will be aware of it. It won't be just inward. It will be radical on the outside. And there's many different ways that can be. And you can read the book of Acts and all the New Testament to your heart's content. Fast forward from there, and you will see how God radically moves through people through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. And so here's what Jesus said it would be like in verse 8. But you will receive power. So you got to remember this. We're to wait, then there's a gift coming, and then you're going to receive power. Or if you're in a different place in the world, you'll say power. We just say power. I guess we said too quick. So you understand what I mean. Use the subtitles if you need them. So you will receive power if you wait here. And it's specific for one reason. The Holy Spirit comes upon you in this instance, that you will be my witnesses. And remember, we got to go by the first mention rule. This is the first time we've heard it about the Holy Spirit in terms of how he will come upon us. So this is important. I'm not saying this is the only way he moves, but this is essential that we grasp this. It will be by power that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And this would make sense because in Matthew 28, Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world. It's his final message before he leaves. And he's, as he leaves, he says, but don't delay, wait here. Don't leave this place until you get the Holy Spirit. Because remember, I've called you to go into all the world, but I've got someone to help you with this, just like me. But in fact, it's going to be even better because he can be with each and every one of you. This is the person of the Holy Spirit. He has no flesh on the outside, but he's the person of the Holy Spirit. And he wants to dwell richly amongst us. He wants to overflow us. He wants to fill us today. And he goes on to say, in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's specific as well. It's saying, look, in your local time, then outside your local time, then a wee bit further afield in your nation, and then to the ends of the earth. This is how the Holy Spirit's going to empower you. Every place you go, the Holy Spirit will empower you. What? To be my witnesses. This is so important. One of the most important questions, if not the most important question we've got to ask ourselves is where will we spend eternity? Where will we spend eternity? If we have put Jesus in our life, if we've given our lives to Jesus, if we surrendered and asked for his forgiveness and confessed with our mouths and believed in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, then our eternity is secure in heaven. If we have not done that, then our eternity will not be in heaven, but in hell. And you couldn't get a worse place. You couldn't get a worse place. It's very important today that we contextualize what we're talking about, that we put into perspective today why we want the Holy Spirit. He's not just for a good feeling. He's to impact me and empower me so I can be the witnesses of God all over this earth, both local and then all the way to the ends of the earth. This is a primary function of the Holy Spirit. And this should be a primary motivation of our lives and of our hearts. And so we're going to think about this today, and we're going to encourage our hearts to be like this. So here's my question. How do we respond? How do we respond when we think about the Holy Spirit? I had this crazy question that went on my heart this week. And I said, is the Holy Spirit pointless? Is the work of the Holy Spirit pointless? Is the baptism of the Holy Spirit pointless? Because it feels that so many people are not really that interested in the Holy Spirit. Either ignorant, don't need, don't care, not interested, or tried that before and it didn't work. And I want to say today that if Jesus mentioned the Holy Spirit, he came back to earth for 40 days. I believe he came back purposely to remind us of the Holy Spirit, because he says you cannot do this thing alone. Of course, the Holy Spirit wants to convict you of your sins, but he also wants to empower you to live a life like Christ. And this is what's so important. And I think it took Jesus 40 days. He wanted to make sure that he would keep telling the disciples, remember the Holy Spirit. Don't leave this place. Wait for him. Don't try to do it in your own strength. You're going to burn out. You're going to fall flat in your face. You're going to probably do that anyway. But when you've got the power of the Holy Spirit, it will make all the difference. It will be like just having me with you. This is the point of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's radical. He wants to encourage you, and he wants to transform your life. And so for some of us, we've heard about the Holy Spirit, but we have to be honest. We're not that excited about him anymore. Just loads of different reasons, but we're not that excited. For some of us, we're skeptics. We're like, Holy Spirit? No. It's just like, for some of us, we're hardline. Holy Spirit's not for today. I want to encourage you, maybe he is, and I believe scripture will show that he is. We won't get into it today, but I'm going to believe by faith that you're going to receive this word. And if you're interested in more info, send us a message. We'll be glad to send it through to you. I believe the Holy Spirit, some people can be skeptical about him. Maybe you've seen some over-the-top reactions from other people. I say this, don't worry about anybody else. Focus on you and what's your walk like in terms of God, because only we will stand before the Lord. It'll be us alone, nobody else. And I don't want any excuses. I want to be filled and baptized with the Spirit because I want to live like Christ in all his fullness. Some of us just don't believe. Some of us have been hurt and discouraged because maybe the Holy Spirit didn't work in our lives in the way that we anticipated. We had an expectation and then we had an experience and there was too much of a gap. So we got discouraged. I want to say to you, come on, don't plug out, plug into the Holy Spirit. Don't get discouraged and disillusioned. What if today we just take a fresh start in this? What if today we accept what's been before and we say, okay, Lord, teach me today. I'm open-minded today. I want to be aware that there is the Holy Spirit. And maybe I haven't experienced what I need to in the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I need something fresh. Because here's the thing, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you over and over and over again. I want to believe today that for some of us, we're getting excited. I want to believe today that all of us are going to be curious. And by the end of this time, the Holy Spirit is going to have moved. For others, he means everything. And the Holy Spirit has changed us forever. But can I say this? No matter what your experience is, everybody needs the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is incredible. He is incredible. And he has come to transform you literally from the inside out each and every day. So we turn into and we become the full likeness of Christ as we go on this journey all the way to heaven. And then we'll be perfect. But Jesus said, let me remind you again, do not leave here. Do not leave here. And I want you to notice the disciples today, just for a few moments. They waited, they prayed, and they didn't leave for 10 days. They waited, they prayed and they didn't leave for 10 days. Maybe you just need to turn it into a song. They waited, they prayed, they didn't leave for 10 days. But here's the truth of the disciples. They were ready to wait and pray for as long as it took. Jesus said, do not leave here. They didn't know how long it was going to be. But I tell you this, I am convinced that it wouldn't matter if it was 9 days, 10 days, 11 days, or 100 days. They would have done their best to wait there because they know that Jesus said, do not leave. And the disciples had built their life on Christ. So whatever he said goes. They didn't have any other options. Remember, they left everything to follow Christ. The people turned against them. Life turned against them. They turned against life in a sense. They give up their jobs. They give up their livelihoods. They even give up their families to a great extent. And they say, Jesus, we are all in. So where else would we go? Where else would we go? Peter said one time, but follow you, Jesus. We're all in on you. We're fully committed. We're fully in on Jesus. So whatever he says, we will do. Acts chapter 1:12, it says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. A Sabbath day walk from the city. Pause there just for a moment. A Sabbath day walk, a full day's walk. I mean, when was the last day that we just went for a full day's walk just to be with Jesus or just to spend time with the Lord or because the Lord told us and said, I want to meet with you? Convicted. I know, different world, different day. I get it, but the point still remains. They walked a full day because that's what it required. That's what Jesus needed. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Then all joined together constantly in prayer. I want you to remember this word, constantly in prayer, along with women, the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Wow. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I think I forgot that when they were in the upper room for 10 days, they weren't just waiting, they were praying. And the Bible says they were constantly praying. Maybe this is something to challenge our hearts today. Whenever you're waiting, let's pray. Whenever we're unsure of what's happening next, let's pray. Whenever we're anxious, be anxious for nothing, pray. We should pray. We should pray. They waited, prayed, and didn't leave for 10 days. And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit came. And we'll read Acts chapter 2, verse 1 in just a moment. But can I say this? The story of the upper room is God fills anyone seeking more. The story of God has always been, if you're seeking more, I will fill. If you are seeking more of me, I will fill you to the brim and overflowing. I will cause a mess. If you are hungry for me, if you are seeking me, I want to tell you, there is more, there is more, there is more. Please be encouraged to keep going forward in the things of God. So I want us to think about three different questions today that I believe may just encourage us as we pursue the Holy Spirit, pursue filling in the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit, whether this is your very first time, whether you're a skeptic, or whether you've been hundreds of times in the game and you're just, I love the Holy Spirit, I just want more. I love it. Come on, we're going for even more of that. Question number one, do I want more? See, this is really important. The Holy Spirit wants to give you more. God wants to give you more. But do you want more? This is really, really important. And the problem is, I'm not waiting if it's not worth it. I'm not waiting if it's not worth it. We just came back from Center Parks. It's got lots of those slides all around the place. They're for adults and kids. But I've been on bigger slides before. And so the problem is, when you've been on bigger and better, it's hard to go back to lesser. Now, that's probably me, but in the same token, let's use the point. There was a queue. There was a wait. My knee's a bit sore at the moment. I'm believing for healing in Jesus' name. But I ponder two questions. Is the wait worth it? And will this be worth the price if I hurt my knee? Is the wait worth it? And that's what really comes down. And for the disciples, there wasn't a question, is the wait worth it? Because Jesus said it, we will do it. But for us in our lives in 2022, we have to be really honest. We've got a lot of blessings. Praise the Lord. We've got a lot of comforts. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. We live in the aftermaths of this. We live in the blessings of this. And so it comes down to one big question. Do I really want more? Come on, let's be honest today. Do I really want more? I've got so much already. You know what I mean? Even though we've heard about scarcity, we've heard about lack, a large part of us are still going, well, it hasn't been that bad yet. You know, I've still got quite a few options I can top up. I've still got quite a few things that are going to give me. Even the government came out the other day in Heaton, and they're going to give us a one-stop payment to give us a bit of a blessing. I mean, even the government are trying to help us. We live in a very blessed land. It's so important to know this. Now, I know there are exceptions. But for the majority of us, we're living blessed, we're living well, and we're finding it hard to adjust to some of the things that we hear because we've still got a lot of buffer. We've still got a lot of margin. But for the early disciples, they said to themselves, I don't have any margin. All my margin is used up. All my buffer is used up. All my money is used up. All I have is Jesus. So it was a simple instruction to follow. Do not wait for me. Okay, Lord, we trust you. But can we run it today? Because Jesus says that his word stands the test of time. And what he did 2,000 years ago, we fully believe is still available today. And maybe our wait is harder and our yearning is harder because we've got so many other things stuffing us. But can I say this? There's still nobody like Jesus. There's still nobody that's better than the Holy Spirit. Can I say this, that this word is still true today as it was 2,000 years ago? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. How are you doing in terms of being empowered to share your faith? Is it even on your agenda anymore? Praise the Lord, it was on theirs. They felt they had no other option but to get the Holy Spirit. For us, we're like, I don't even know if I'm interested. Come on, we got to be real today. Maybe you're happy enough. I don't know if I want more. Maybe you're happy enough. Maybe you're saying, I'm already full. It's like going to your mom's for lunch and she gives you this big meal and you're stuffed and you eat more because you just love it. And then at the end of it, if somebody came with an even better meal, you would say, I really love this and I really want this, but I'm already full. It's nothing to do with your meal. It looks incredible, but I'm already full. And I just want to say this. What if we're stuffed full on the wrong things? Then we need a detox. We need a detox, because the point is, the question should not even be relevant. Do I want more? Duh. Like, of course. It's not even want. I need it. I need him. But complacency can get in the way. Familiarity. Ego. Like, I got this sorted. I'm all good. All of these things can get in the way. And I simply want to say this today. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust what you think. Don't trust your circumstances, because at any moment, things can collapse. And each one of us have issues. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to match up to what God's called us to, and it's not going to be self-effort, and it's not going to be, I must do. It's not going to be self-help books. It's not going to be self-help talk. It's going to be grace and power by the Spirit. Then I need the Holy Spirit. I need him. We can't get away from this. It doesn't matter how much you've got. It doesn't matter how much you're still full of. To be the people that God's called us to be, the free people, the people of God, the men and women of God, the delight in him, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I say this, let's live lives that aren't satisfied with anything else except Jesus and all he has. Let's live lives fully satisfied only by Jesus and all that he has. This is where my heart's aiming for. Come on, if you remind yourself of this, if you pray this and you focus on this, you will get it. There's no point saying, oh, I don't have it. I wish I was just like them. We don't work like that. We work far better by going forward than dwelling on what we don't have. We work far better going forward and saying, okay, God, you've got this for me. I'm going after this thing. I'm going to grab this thing with two hands because I want it. Question number two, do I need power? This is a slightly different question, but also really important. Do I want the Holy Spirit? Do I need power? You see, the number one thing, the primary focus that Jesus wants us to think about today is we need the Holy Spirit for power. But I want to ask you the question, what do you want this power for? This is really the question. Do I need power? Well, what do I really need this power for? Maybe your life is good. Maybe you can supply all of your needs. Maybe you can get everything sorted. Maybe the way that your life works right now, God would just really mess it up. Come on, let's be real. If the Holy Spirit came and wanted to work through your life, he'd kind of mess it up because you got your toys, you got your money, you got your relationships, you got your time, you got your coffee dates, you've got everything cracked. I mean, the Holy Spirit, what would he really add? In fact, he would just mess things up. I mean, this is where we need the Holy Spirit desperately to come and wake us up, because you could have all those things, but they could be gone in an instant. Health could take them away. Money could take them away. Financial crisis could take them away. COVID could take them away. Just anything could take them away. And then what have you got? Emptiness, voids, what I do now, depression. I tell you this, you need the Holy Spirit, and he's coming to give you power. But my problem is, I'm not waiting if I don't need it. I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting if I don't need it. We say this all the time. I tell you what, I don't even know if I need this thing, I'm away on. You know, if the queue's too bad and we don't really need it, I'm gone. It'd be like, you go to the shop for milk, you get to the shop and it's either too expensive, or the shop's too busy and you just say to me, I don't need this, I'm away. I don't need this, I'm away. But the real question is, what will you do with this power? And I want to pose two thoughts for us. It's my kingdom or his kingdom. If it's my kingdom, well, if you've got a crack, then you don't really need his power. If you've got church cracked, if you've got life cracked, if you've got work cracked, If you've got everything going and flowing just the way you like it, well then, I'm sorry, this message probably is not going to be any good for you because I'm asking and calling you to more. But I want to flip to the other side. If you're living for his kingdom, then I don't know how you pray during tough times when you don't have the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you make it whenever you're going through a relationship crisis, but everybody's demanding something from you. I don't know how you make it whenever you're trying to bring a word that would just cut through someone's heart and their ego and their flesh, and you're just trying to do it with your words. I don't know how you make it without the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you make it each and every day if we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I want to just pause on this just for a moment because I believe there's something in this. I think Christianity can be done two ways. You copy what everybody else is doing, and it seems good for a while, and you pursue it like an action-based thing, and you even look the part, talk the part, even sing the part, and could even tell other people the part, but eventually it's just empty and hollow, and you're burnt out, and you're exhausted. And you might even get to a place where you just go, God, I hate you. I can't stand you. Or you do Christianity empowered by the Spirit. You do it from the inside out. You do it from the secret place first. You do it from where God's bringing you rather than where you want to get to. You do it from what he thinks about you rather than what other people think about you. You do it from the secret place rather than the public place. And you're much more interested in your identity in Christ than your status with everybody else. And when you live like that, you're prone to no burnout. You're prone to be like the eagle that God, the Bible talks about, the metaphor of we would soar on wings like eagles. You're prone to living like that, with a yoke that's easy and a burden that's light, rather than self-effort and work and hard work. I want to tell you, that's a road to nowhere. It's a road of religion, and it isn't going to get us anywhere. Please don't copy everybody else without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Trust God first. Be developed in the secret place, and at the right time, he'll bring you to the public place, and you'll have all the grace that you need to sustain that, because the Holy Spirit will be working in your life. You see, they needed the Holy Spirit because they needed God's power. This is the story of the early church. God, if we're gonna cast out demons, if we're gonna see the lame walk, if we're gonna see leprosy go, if we're gonna see multitudes saved, then oh my goodness, Lord, you better give us the Holy Spirit. This is why they waited. They said, Jesus, we've seen the way you operate. We've got a glimpse of how you live. We don't want to live any other way. So you tell us to wait, no problem. No sweat. And here's what I love about the early church. Waiting was not a problem. Waiting became prayer. Come on. I tell you what, when you get a proper perspective and you get filled with the Spirit and you get a glimpse of what the Lord can do, there will not be a question if I don't want it or I'm too busy or do I need it. It will be a question of how can I get it? And all he's looking for is someone that will seek him. All that he's looking for is someone that will seek his face, because here's the good news. They had to wait 10 days in the New Testament before the Holy Spirit was poured out. But today, the Holy Spirit's already poured out. So I'm telling you this, go wherever you need to go, whether it be the prayer tent, the worship closet that you've got at home. It could be literally the closet if it's a big enough one, or a wardrobe if it's a big enough one. It could be a walk with a dog. It could be on the mountaintop. Wherever you need to go, the shower, the car, wherever you need to go. But get into those moments and watch how the Holy Spirit is going to fill you and flood you and captivate your heart. And suddenly the things that you thought you liked, you don't even like anymore. And suddenly the things you didn't want to do, you do want to do them now. You want to read. You love to read. You love to pray. You want to go here. You want to go there. The Holy Spirit's so kind. He's so gentle. He said, if you will come with me, I will fill you and we will do this thing together in my strength. Wow. How good is the Holy Spirit? Here's my point today. If you want to live like a Christian, if you want to live like Christ, then I need his power. I need him. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a question. It's just like, how do I get it? But if you want to live like me, if you want to live like you, come on, mean yourself, then you don't need the Holy Spirit power. All you're really after is a few goosebumps. You know, like the feelings? Like, I just want a feeling. And I want to say this. If we live our lives and we reduce the Holy Spirit, who's the resurrected power, who was the one who took Jesus off the grave, who's the one who convicted of your sin, who's the one that was in the Red Sea and split it, who was in, like, underneath death and lifted it and blew it up, who's right in this world ready to do extraordinary things. If all you want the Holy Spirit to do is tickle you, then, oh my goodness, we have reduced the Holy Spirit down to a teddy bear instead of a roaring lion like he truly is. Come on, he is strong, he is powerful, he is mighty. There's nobody like the Holy Spirit. And when he captivates your life, when he fills your life will never be the same again. Never, 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 never. But let's not reduce the Holy Spirit down to tickles, to feels, or to goosebumps. I need him for my every breath. Whether you believe it or not, that's the way it works. Thank you, Lord, for my every breath. Thank you, Lord, for the good gifts you've given me. Thank you for the health that I have today. It's the Holy Spirit that's empowering us on every single level. Don't be disillusioned. Don't be naive. Don't be blinkered to this. If you're disconnected from this reality, Holy Spirit, I ask you, come and remove any gaps and remove any distance and get us focused on you today, because we need you. You see, let's live lives empowered by the Holy Spirit, because we need his power, because we've got a vision for what God's called us to. And maybe today this is what you need. I need a vision. I need a Moses revelation. I need a Paul revelation. I need a Jesus revelation. I need somebody else's revelation. I need something, because I see the vision they have. I see the calling that they've got. And I tell you this, when you understand your calling and you've got a right vision of God, you've got a right image of God, then you're going to say, oh my goodness, I need the Holy Spirit, because I need to be part of this fun, and I need him because this thing is far too big for me. And if I'm going to do a kingdom work, I need a kingdom power. This is it. If I'm going to do a me work, a me kingdom, then me power is more than fine. Me power. But if I'm going to do a kingdom work, then I need his power. So it's not a question. I need his power. See, the disciples were sold out in Jesus. Waiting became prayer. It was just what they did. Their relationship with Jesus was the deciding factor in their lives. And so when he told them there was more, they were like, they were wide-eyed. They were ready. They were like, are you serious? We need this. Praise the Lord, because we thought you were going to leave us, Jesus. So praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit is coming. They needed him. They needed him in every single level and every possible way that you could imagine. And we need the Holy Spirit's filling in every possible way that we imagine. Better than you think, better than you know. And I'm telling you, he will come and do a glorious work in your heart. And if he's begun it, he's going to finish. And if you've been filled before, be filled again. And if you've never been filled, today we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit will come and fill you. You see, sometimes what we do when we're waiting is we begin to question, will I, won't I, is it worth the wait, is this pointless, do I want this thing, do I really want it, I'm going to leave. But because they had been with Jesus, because they had seen, because their hearts had been exploded by the Holy Spirit, because the power of God had been moving through their lives, it wasn't a question of waiting and wondering, it was waiting and praying. We got to be ready. They were excited. We've got to be ready, because something spectacular is going to happen. And can I just encourage you that maybe you're at the end of your rope, you're at the end of your tether, and you say to yourself, Darrell, I get what you're saying, but I don't know how this relates to me, because I'm at the end of my rope. Can I just tell you, if you could just right now, here and now, just say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you, that's all it would take. That's all it would take. I'm not asking you to do something. I'm not asking you to perform in a certain way. I'm not asking you to G yourself up. I'm not asking you to get excited when you're not excited. I'm simply saying, welcome the Holy Spirit. That's all you got to do. Welcome. It says those that seek him, receive him. Just welcome the Holy Spirit. You might welcome him weary. You might welcome him with one eye closed and one eye open and with half a breath because you're exhausted, tired, and worn out. Or you might welcome him by going, oh. You know, you may welcome him in various different ways, but whatever way you do, simply welcome. That's all you have to do. Simply welcome him. And then last question, and then we'll be done. Where are you? You see, what I noticed, what's really important about this story, and again, I'll read it. It says, verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. See, before the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, 1, it said they were in the right place with a group of believers and they were praying. This is really key. I believe that for so many of us, we're simply missing out on the things of God, not necessarily because our hearts are bad, not because of lack of, like, we don't want him, not because of, like, not interested, but because we find ourselves in the wrong places. So maybe it is lack of interest. Maybe it's just simply lack of priorities. Maybe it's just not getting things in order for us to receive what we need to receive, because for them, you had to be in this upper room. No point being in the one next door. It wouldn't work. You had to be in this upper room. When the 120 got baptized in the upper room, and then the day of Pentecost come, and it was 3,000. I mean, then it's like, you had to be in that place. And then the Holy Spirit starts to move out. But I think a lot of the times, we've just got to remind ourselves that physical location is important. It's really important. I mean, this is why we put our trust in Jesus, so that we end up in heaven and not hell, because physical locations are important because we are physical people. I mean, it's like, I might really love those new donuts, but if I don't get to the shop quick enough, then all I have was a good thought and a good idea, but I didn't get the taste and see that the donut was good. You can kind of tell where my thinking goes. It's like, if we're interested in the donut, then we get ourselves to the donut shop. If we're interested in the presence of God, then we get ourselves to the presence of God. It's just that simple. Let's just be real with ourselves. And so what if we're saying one thing, but we're doing another thing? This is where we got to get real. Because sometimes our head says one thing, but our heart says another. Sometimes we say one thing, but our feet takes us somewhere else. And then we've got to say, well, which is it? Well, it's the places that you go to tell the truth, not the things that you say. You know what I mean? It's like, where do you find yourself? Where do you end up going? That will tell me better of what's going on in your life. And so maybe the first one is fun. I really want to go on a holiday, but I don't really want to save, and I want to spend my money on other things. Well, then I don't know how you'll afford to go on holidays. It's that simple. Or, well, this one's for me. I really, really want to look good, lose weight, as if that's all it's about. But, you know, I'm having fun. I want to lose weight. Okay, I want to lose weight. But I'm not prepared to eat better. I love food too much. I'm not willing to change my diet. I don't want to go to gym. You know, I can see the guys right now going, well, which is it? Do you really want it or do you really need it? Do you really want to change or are you just saying it? Is it just something you're talking about or is it something you want to do? And again, I don't want to make it into of like, you must do this to get that. But I simply say this, if we don't welcome the Holy Spirit and we don't put ourselves in the right position, then come on, we can do that. Because even if you're in your deathbed, you can put yourself in the right position physically in terms of you're in a quiet place or wherever you find yourself, and then you can say, God, I need you. But if you're not, then there's an expectation that God has on your life that if there's something going on that's carrying the presence of God, why not go there? Why not prioritize to be there? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you have to be in everything, but if you're needing more of God and you're hungry for more of God, then you will find yourself in the right places. And it may not be a bad place. It may just be the wrong place. But they find themselves in the right place with the right people, and they were friends. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit began to move. You see, I really, 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 really want God, but I'm also really busy, and my priorities find myself over here instead of over here, there instead of here. And I find myself saying one thing, but I find myself doing another thing. Let's bring everything back into alignment. Let's be real with ourselves. Well, on this part, you have to be real with yourself. You got to be cognitive for this part. You got to say, come on, I have to mean what I say. I have to get this. We do this all the time. I want it, but I'm not in the right place. And again, I mean physical first, but physical will lead to the spiritual. I want him, but I'm not in the right place. Please don't go into the other too far, because if you could just get to his presence, he takes care of everything else. It's the same as salvation, the same as the presence of the Lord. And watch how you get filled with the Spirit, that he starts to push everything outside. Don't try to get too clean. Come on, if there's things you're aware of, then that's fine. Deal with them. Get rid of them. Come. But allow the Holy Spirit to help you as you do that. Again, you won't do it in your own strength. I'm simply saying there's more. Don't miss out on the more. That's really the heart of today's message. It's not could do better. It's just there is more. Don't miss out on it. Come to Jesus. Welcome the Holy Spirit. So check your position today. Position is crucial. There are so many places we can go for more of God. So many places. Make sure you check those places out. And so I want more, and I'm in the right position, then great news. Here comes Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a mighty, blowing, violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that were separated and rested on each of them. What an incredible scene. And all were filled, notice the word filled, with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, Pentecost is really a miracle of unity. It's like people came together and were filled with the Spirit. And God says, this is the picture of heaven. This is where my presence dwells. This is where the power gets birthed. This is where the power gets ignited. This is where the fire comes. This is where purity comes. This is where the goodness and blessings of God come. And from this place, just move and then try to gather more. This is the picture of Pentecost. It's a people coming together. It's a people coming together and speaking in one tongue. It reminds me of Babel. I mean, back then, they all were speaking in one language, but they thought they were better than God. And so God scattered them, separated them in multiple languages. And now through the work of the Spirit, we come together, and as we're united, we can command the blessing. As we're united, we start to speak as one in tongues of heaven, in tongues of unknown tongues, tongues of Jesus, tongues of the Spirit. And it says, as they began to speak, the tongues began to flow. Notice this, that when you get filled with the Spirit, the Lord loves to give you a heavenly prayer language. Notice this, that when you get filled with the Spirit, not only will you get filled with power to be my witnesses, but he will give you the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, a term, the wonderful gift from the Spirit to speak in other tongues. Slight bit different than tongues and interpretation. This one's a personal gift for all. No limits. If you know the Holy Spirit, he wants to give it to you. It has radically transformed my life. We'll talk more about it another day. But Pentecost was waiting for more. But today, can I say this? That this gift has been opened already. This gift has been released already. It's the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He's already been released. And so it's less about waiting, although for some of us, we need to get into a waiting place. We need to wait before the Lord, just in his presence, just to settle our hearts, allow the Holy Spirit to come. That's very important. But for us, it's more about the Holy Spirit's available. Don't miss it. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit's in this room while we record. The Holy Spirit's around you right now. The Holy Spirit wants to come in your life. If you're not saved, then the Holy Spirit wants to come and make a home in your life. If you are saved, the Holy Spirit wants to come and fill you. If you've been filled before, he wants to fill you over and over and over again. Don't miss out on the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're struggling to endure, you need the Holy Spirit's power. If you're struggling to share your faith, you need the Holy Spirit's power. If you're struggling to overcome and pray for your enemies, then you need the Holy Spirit's power. I don't know how you would do it without him. If you're struggling to read, if you're struggling to pray, if you're just struggling in life as a Christian, you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our great helper. The Bible describes him as an advocate. He comes to advocate for us. He comes to walk with us. He comes to walk with us and talk through us and communicate through us and empower us and challenge us and change us and transform us. And everything we're lacking, he's got it. And everything we're dreaming of, he's got it times 10. And he wants to work through your life. Come on, we're going to pray today and ask that the Holy Spirit would come and empower you and fill you. And I just said, if you're ready to welcome the Holy Spirit, let's pray. If you're in doubt, give him a benefit of the doubt. Pray. Come on, let's welcome the Holy Spirit today. Allow him to come into your room. Allow him to come into your life. Allow him to come into your heart and see what the Lord might do. So can we pray? Let's be bold. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the wonderful things that you're doing. I pray, Lord, for those that have never put their trust in Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, we would do it today. We would believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. And that very action would save us from our sins. That very action would position us from hell to heaven and would give us the abundant life today, able to receive this Holy Spirit in all his fullness. Lord, I pray for anyone that would praise that today right now, they would know that the Holy Spirit is available and not only wants to save them, but fill them. Lord, I pray for those. Come on, let's posture your heart. For those that are ready for more, we just open up our hands, we open up our hearts, we do whatever you need to do, but we simply say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. This is not a work of self-effort. This is a work of the Spirit. Come and engulf the room, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and take control of our minds. Holy Spirit, come and overflow our bodies. Holy Spirit, come and fill us to overflowing. It's less about thinking, it's more about receiving. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come, remove any doubts, remove any worries. Come on, we're not focused on that. We are focused on him. Holy Spirit, fill us and overflow us today. And let our lives never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.